It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. This week, New Voices Pittsburgh Women of Color for Reproductive Justice celebrates 10 years as a human rights organization in the Pittsburgh region. Initially, this grassroots group had some trouble defining themselves and their mission. How do you advocate for reproductive justice when most people don't understand what that term means? But as they've been partnering with organizations such as the Women's Law Project and brought attention to the treatment of incarcerated women in the state prison system, New Voices Pittsburgh has carved out a more defined mission and area for growth. I'm joined now by Latasha Mays, founder and executive director of New Voices Pittsburgh, about what reproductive justice means for communities in the region and how grassroots organizing is evolving. Latasha Mays, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi, Paul. Thank you for having me on the show today.
So let's talk about how New Voices got its start in Pittsburgh. How did it happen?
Well, 10 years ago, I was simply minding my own business. Funny thing happened to me on the way to the Coliseum. All joking aside, the March for Women's Lives was happening in 2004, and it was actually black women from this community, such as Alma Speed Fox, who we're honoring at our Living Our Legacy celebration tomorrow, who encouraged me to support and organize black women and women of color to attend this march. And so from there, we spent about 40 days introducing an entirely new concept to this community and engaging with black women and women of color to be a part of not only this march, but a new movement that was emerging out of the experiences and the lives of women of color. And so we successfully organized women of color to go to that march in 2004. I was about 20, 21, 22 years old when we were organizing, and that was the largest march on Washington to date. And what was amazing about it is that there were so many women of color, there were so many young women, and women often have been on the margins of the movement for women's rights. So on the bus ride back, the women asked, what are we going to do when we get back to Pittsburgh? And that's how New Voices for Reproductive Justice Pittsburgh was born, and that was our original name. And so 10 years later, we have grown into a national force for reproductive justice with work in Pennsylvania and Ohio. And our mission is very clear that we are creating a social change movement dedicated to the health and well-being of black women and girls. We're a local organizer, a state advocate, and a national leader in this work, and we're proud to celebrate 10 years.
And just to clarify it for people, what is reproductive justice in terms of how it differs from another term that we often hear, reproductive rights?
Sure. That's probably one of the most critical questions that have been asked of us over the years. And so the way that New Voices Pittsburgh defines reproductive justice is that we each have the human right to control our bodies, our sexuality, our gender, our work, and our reproduction. And so how that differs from reproductive rights, which is largely and singularly focused on a few issues like abortion and contraception. It also has a specific model of how the work is done, which is largely through legal systems or institutions, and even the folks who are involved in that particular work are oftentimes advocates, lawyers, judges, policymakers. The difference with reproductive justice is it's based on this idea of human rights and the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. So I think communities of color, particularly black communities, can really understand that, you know, all working with current legal systems haven't always yielded us justice. And so we stake our claim for justice based on the international global idea of human rights. And so our work is about not only the important issues of reproductive health and rights, very distinct frameworks, but it's those things plus this idea of human rights, this idea of looking at issues and identities and oppressions in an intersectional way at the same time. We're not single issue people. We all live multiple issue lives, and even more so for women of color. And so, you know, we are basically the way the listeners can think about it is, How are we looking at reproductive rights in the social justice context? So reproductive rights plus social justice equals reproductive justice.
And talk about some of the causes that you've taken up through the years and how they fit in with the reproductive justice framework. When we first talked, for example, a couple of years ago, there was this incredible story that an issue that you were dealing with, helping women who are incarcerated in the state prison system who are dealing with pregnancies.
Yes, I'm glad you brought that up. That was probably our most significant work we did around not only culture change and activism, but around policy. We were able to win a statewide policy to ban shackling up to a certain point of incarcerated women in all correctional institutions.
And just to paint the picture for our listeners is that women at the time in the state prison system, some who were pregnant were shackled.
Absolutely. That's correct. And if anyone who's ever been pregnant can imagine what that might be like, it's really inhumane and it dehumanizes the person. And unfortunately, our prison industrial complex does not recognize the human rights of incarcerated people, particularly pregnant incarcerated women. So that was a key issue for us, a key campaign that we led for several years called Focus on Women that really defines and demonstrates what reproductive justice is. That's when people started to understand our work more clearly. I think two other examples of that are our work around access to health care and the work we've done around the Affordable Care Act since 2009 as a part of Raising Women's Voices. It's a national campaign that brings a gender lens to how we were talking about this new health care law. So not only have we helped to create policy change, like contraception being available to women at no additional cost. We know there's been changes with that since then, but that's work that we've been a part of at the national level, advocating at the state level for healthcare access, particularly around Medicaid expansion and what that looks like for women of color and low-income people, to actually enrolling people into the health insurance exchanges focused on Black women and Black LGBTQ people.
Helping people navigate through the system.
Navigate through the system. Literally, you could come to the New Voices Pittsburgh office and get help with our certified application counselor to enroll. So that's another clear example of how the work that we have done has not only been about activism or only policy change, but how we're actually providing direct service to Black women and girls that we are serving in this community, in addition to our families and, you know, our allies. So it's our work is for all those who believe in our mission to build this social change movement dedicated to our health and well-being. And so the most recent work that we're doing at the state level is with our tremendous partners like the Women's Law Project through the Pennsylvania Agenda for Women's Health. What's amazing about this agenda is that it's legislation. It's a collection of legislation that is really speaking to our vision for what we want the quality of life for women to be in Pennsylvania. And so we're looking at issues of equal pay, looking at issues of domestic violence, looking at issue of access to health care and reproductive health care. And we want to see an even stronger bill around anti-shackling, which limits it during all stages of pregnancy. So that's we're now proactive and visionary in our legislative and policy work versus always being on the defense around the issues important to women in this community and across the state.
And there's a lot that I want to touch on before we're done here, but yes. Very quickly, just an update on that situation. Where do we stand with the shackling issue?
So currently, you can still be shackled up until the last – you can be shackled prior to the last trimester of pregnancy. So what we want – each county jail has to report if they – actually shackle someone. There's a report that's due in the fall of every year. And so unfortunately, county jails across the state haven't done their reporting, particularly some of the largest jails like in Philadelphia County.
So
that work continues even from, over the last several years.
We're talking with LaTosha Mays. She's founder and executive director of New Voices Pittsburgh, celebrating 10 years as a human rights organization. And there seems to have been a shift in the way protests and political action is organized, with less centralized figures and organizations like Al Sharpton, for example, or the NAACP. What do you think about that shift? And is it helpful for getting a particular message out to the general public?
I think the shift that we're seeing is really speaking to the activism that black women and girls and women of color have really assumed over the last 10 years. I think long gone are the days that you have one centralized figure, you have one centralized organization representing the interests of one particular group. And so we have to evolve from this idea that only one person or one group can represent us. I think the work of New Voices Pittsburgh has always been about how do we build a movement? It is not sustainable to have one person or one organization take on one issue for any long period of time. It gets tiring to advance social justice and resist oppression. It's a nonstop, unending thing. And so we've learned that it's important that we are building the leadership capacity of black women and girls in this community. So one, I can be out of a job. And two, that we actually achieve the things that we want in our mission and our vision.
You're saying that like you would like to be out of a job.
Yes, absolutely. I think any organizer or activist is interested in actually achieving the goal. It's not our interest to be activists for activists' sake. It's actually to solve the problems.
And it's rare to see a social justice organizer make their work into a career. In terms of starting this organization in Pittsburgh, and your knowledge based on how you embarked on this endeavor, what kind of skill set does it take to keep it going?
One of the questions people would ask here and outside of Pittsburgh is, why would you start a reproductive justice organization in Pittsburgh? Pittsburgh has so much promise, but the idea that we would try to build such a progressive movement here was really odd to people.
Why?
For us, we say it's the places that struggle with issues around race and gender and class that we need to be challenging those legacies and uproot them and create something new and better for those communities. So it's great to have the work that we're doing in Philadelphia, which is critical and important. But we think that places like Pittsburgh and throughout the Rust Belt could benefit from a larger vision around human rights and reproductive justice. But
the answer to the question is that the problem is here. So why not do it here?
Absolutely. And so, but also you can see the actual changes that you want to create, and we have seen those changes. It takes vision, it takes planning, it takes money. Can I say that again? It takes money. It takes clear mission, consistency, integrity. It takes risk and just a touch of insanity to embark on such a journey. Our beginning quote was, when we started, was, we specialize in the wholly impossible. It's a quote by Nanny Helen Burroughs, because she started a school for colored girls in D.C. in the early 1900s. People thought that was crazy. And similar for us, we took that lesson to say, not only is our work possible, but it's important and necessary for the black women and girls in this community. And so that's what I would say to people trying to start this, any kind of social justice work or be a leader in social justice activist work as a career. It takes a great deal of commitment and devotion to the cause of human rights and social justice.
And New Voices Pittsburgh has developed a program for schoolgirls who want to be community organizers. What do you see happening with the next generation of activists? What issues and tactics speak to them?
Our Sister Speak Youth Project is something we started 2010 as a pilot, but is now going to be a 3-year program supported by the Heinz Endowments and Groundswell Fund to actually train black girls ages 18 to 19 to become community organizers, to teach them about sexual and reproductive health. But what speaks to them in an amazing way is creativity. It's about being intersectional, using social media to amplify their lives, their voices, and their experiences. And so while these new things are important to the work of the next generation, tried and true tactics still work too, like boycotting, voting, and true grassroots organizing. Those things still work, and our program will begin in January of 2015.
We're down to about a minute here, but I wanted to bring up Black Lives Matter and Black Girls Matter are popular hashtags in social media right now. Black Lives Matter has been synonymous with Ferguson, and Black
Yes.
Girls Matter has taken on a very specific meaning in Pittsburgh as it relates to the death and the possible murder of 16-year-old Tiara Whitehead of Homewood.
Yes.
Talk about what you know of this case and the importance of that hashtag, Black Girls Matter.
even if we only know that she was a 16-year-old young black woman who was from Homewood, but her body was found in a park across the city, and, you know, with, from what we know, bleach marks and, you know, acts of violence, that's enough for us to be concerned about what happened to Tierra Whitehead, and that we are changing the culture for New Voices, that the lives of black women and girls do matter, and that there has, we have to affirm our value and our dignity. So we're excited to celebrate 10 years. We hope people will celebrate the 10th anniversary with us tomorrow, December 4th, Andy Warhol Museum.
Right. Yeah. And we've been talking with Latasha Mays, founder and executive director of New Voices Pittsburgh, about 10 years as a human rights organization. And the celebration of the 10th anniversary is tomorrow night at the Warhol Museum. We'll post the information on our website at WESA.FM. Latasha Mays, as always, great visiting with you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Paul. Take care.
You too. And thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. You can catch the entire show online at WESA.FM or as a podcast in iTunes. Until tomorrow, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.